You're listening to a podcast from Victory. Jesus interprets the law against adultery. Learn more about fidelity in marriage in week 5 of our series, Redefined.
All right. Magandang gabi po sa inyo lahat. Good evening. Pwede bang pakitingnan mo yung katabi mo, sabihin mo maganda ka pa sa gabi? Yan, ano? All right. We are continuing on our series to define. Okay, and we are still looking at Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so, please do read those chapters so you can be able to follow us in our series. And so, Sermon on the Mount. So, basically, we're talking about human relationship, no? And yun nga po, dahil po sa tema, okay, na pag-uusapan natin ngayon, SPG po tayo, no? Striktong patnubay at gabay ng magulang ay kailangan. May mga kontemang sexual, okay, karasan at droga, okay? And so, hindi po ito appropriate sa mga bata. So, kung meron po kayong mga anak, 12 years old and below, please do bring them in our kids' church. We don't want you to be able to face questions like, Tay, ano yung adultery? Di ba? Ganyan. Tay, ano yung divorce? So, medyo mahirap ang explain yan sa mga bata. And so, please do bring them to our kids' church. By the way, my name is Romel. I'm one of the pastors here at Victory Metro East, serving under the leadership of our senior pastor, Mark Constantino. And so, next month, no? And that is like 2 days from now. Okay, magkakaroon po tayo ng Unashamed and some of our very own missionaries. Bumalik po sila rito, no? So that they will be able to participate together with some of their na-reach out nilang mga tao. And so, Mr. Dan Encarnacion and his family together of their some Kyrgyz friends were actually here last 1 o'clock in service. Ano, or, and so, if you would see them, okay, together with Dan and Iris Monterde, who are from Australia, nandito rin po sila. In fact, Pastor Dan is actually preaching, okay, at our cinema service. And so, if you would see them, these are very own missionaries, okay, 2 Dans, Dan Monterde, okay, and Dan Encarnacion. And so, please, if you see them, do encourage them, no, and if the Lord would speak to you, bless them, okay, together with the delegates that they have with them. Okay, and so today we will talk about a very sensitive issue, okay, an issue that we all deal with directly or indirectly. We have seen its effect in our society or probably even in our own homes or probably even sa mismong pamilya po natin. And so, we're going to look into the Word of God. Okay, and what does the Word of God says about adultery, lust, and briefly on divorce? Okay, and so, please stand up on your feet. Okay, in reverence to the Word of God, we'll be reading from Matthew 5, 27 to 32. Okay, again, we are going to read from the Bible. If you have your Bibles with you, okay, if you have your tablet, cell phone, your iPhone, Samsung, Cherry, whatever that may be. Okay, so I hope na born again na yung gadget nyo, no? Installan nyo ng Bible. Kung wala po kayong kahit anong dala, magpretend lang po kayo na kayo ko. Okay, so pwede rin yun, okay? And so Matthew 5, 27 to 32 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Let's just pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, that you let your word speak to us. Lord, we pray, God, that we will not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Lord, we pray, God, that let your word transforms us from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so Jesus, okay, now turns from the sixth commandment, okay, to the seventh commandment. Okay, from the prohibition against murder to the prohibition against adultery. And in verse 27, it says, okay, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery, no? So before we proceed, ano po ba ang ibig sabihin ng adultery? Okay, in the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, adultery is defined as voluntary sexual intercourse between a married man and someone other than his wife. Okay, or between a married woman and someone other than her husband. And so if you commit sex outside of marriage or your marriage, then that is adultery, no? And it's also known as infidelity. And adultery is not only a sin against one's spouse, okay, but it is an attack on the sanctity of marriage. It destroys families. It destroys marriages. It caused so much pain and destruction in the lives of people. And one thing that we have to understand about adultery, okay, it is first and foremost a sin against God. Okay, and personally, I have witnessed the effect, okay, of this kind of sin in families. I have seen children go into drugs, went into depression and rebellion. Okay, some even tried to commit suicide because of the effect of the sin. Kids suffering the consequences of the decision that the father or the mother made. And so, grabe talaga, very serious. Okay, adultery, just like any other sin, adultery destroys. Okay, like all other sin, the consequence of adultery is death. It causes death in the marriages, it causes death in the relationship between husband and wife, and it could cause death in the relationship of parents to their children. It nullifies the vows and basically breaks the marriage covenant. Why? Because the consequence of sin is death. And basically, God, okay, protecting the sanctity of marriage, protecting the marriage covenant, instituted a very, very high consequence for committing adultery. Okay, Deuteronomy 22:22 says, if a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. The man who lay with the woman and the woman. Okay, so you shall purge the evil from Israel. And normally, no, at that particular time, it is death by stoning. Okay, grabe, no? So talagang, hindi lang buko lang aabutin mo, no? Hanggang sa magpile na yung stone sa'yo until you die. But then it's not just about physical death. Okay, but eternal death as well. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral. Okay, any sins outside of marriage, okay, sexually immoral, fornication, kasama na yun dyan, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice sex homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so it's not just about physical death. It's also about eternal death. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And so, grabe talaga, okay? Just to protect the sanctity of marriage, okay, the marriage covenant, to protect people, okay, from committing such sin, very stiff fine. Death. Not only death, but eternal death. Okay, but then, okay, context again, okay, Jesus is speaking to the disciples in the hearing of the crowds, and in the crowds are the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And so when the Pharisees or the teachers of the law heard, okay, about this, the teachers of the law were faithful to the letter of the law. And just because they did not commit the act of adultery, they were justifying themselves that they were righteous. So parang sinasabi nila, ahem, ahem, okay? Matuwid kami. Okay, dahil hindi na kami pumapatay, hindi pa kami nagko-commit ng adultery, we are observing the law of Moses, we are definitely observing the law of God, therefore, we are holy, righteous, and acceptable before the eyes of God. We have not kept only the sixth commandment, we have also kept the seventh commandment. But then again, here comes the redefinition. Jesus redefining and giving the full interpretation and intent of the law. And so Matthew 5:28 says, but I say to you, Okay? That everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay? I say to you, everyone, Jesus says, who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. John Stott says, as the prohibition of murder included the angry thought and the insulting word, and so the prohibition of adultery included the lustful look and imagination. We can commit murder with our words. We can commit adultery in our hearts or minds. Any and every sexually immoral practice indeed is also immoral in look and in thought. Pinag-aralan natin last week, if words can kill, looks can kill. Diba? Tingnan mo yung katabi mo. Baka mamatay, ano? Okay? Looks can kill. If we look at a woman with lustful intent, then we have already committed adultery. We can commit adultery in our hearts by just looking lustfully and by fantasizing. Okay, adultery is not just about the action, but also about the intention. And again, okay, what's going on in the inside of our heart could actually send us, okay, into judgment, which is hell. One does not have to commit the act to be guilty of adultery. One is just as guilty when one looks at a woman to lust for her. Okay, parang example, no? Di ba yung bata, no? Sino rito meron na kayong anak? Okay, meron kayong anak. Di ba, yung life ba ng baby nag-start kapag lumabas na? O kapag nasa sinapupunan pa lang? Di ba, kapag nasa loob pa lang yan, kahit hindi pa yan lumalabas, kahit wala ka pa nakikitang baby, may life na yan. Nasa loob pa lang. Or for example, sino rito, one time, okay, in your life, nakagawa ka na ng kodigo. Alam mo yung kodigo? Ano ba sa English ang kodigo? Codigs. Okay? Kodigo. Okay. Ano, basta ganun. You like to cheat, no? So, gumawa ka ng cheater list. Ganun, no? Hirap naman English nun. Kodigo na lang. Okay? Codigs. Alright? And so, gumawa ka ng kodigo. Okay? For your exam, dinala mo siya. Okay? Nagamit mo man siya o hindi, nandaya ka ba? Reviewer lang naman, eh, di ba? Pero pag nahuli ka, at kahit hindi mo ginamit, guilty ka. Okay? Why? Because there's already the intent to actually cheat. Probably you would justify yourself, pero hindi ko naman nagamit. Not guilty in the eyes of man, but definitely guilty in the eyes of God because of the intent. But then if you look at the verse, it also did not say that if you look at a woman, we already committed adultery. Okay, it says if we look and wants to sin sexually with her, we already committed adultery with her in our hearts. And so, meron kami sa victory group namin, ano, when I was in college in Mapua, meron kaming kaibigan doon, ano, medyo half Filipino, half Indian siya. And so, sabi niya, ano, every time she would see a beautiful woman, okay, ang sinasabi niya, what a beautiful creation from God. Diba? Because in the same manner that we appreciate, di ba, beautiful sceneries. Di ba, you go to Marcos Highway, di ba, you go sa, di ba may magandang lugar dun eh, yung sa malayo na, Sierra Madre. Di ba, I mean, ang ganda, breathtaking, and we appreciate that. Okay, we appreciate the creation of God. When we see something beautiful, di ba, talagang ma-appreciate mo siya. Tingnan mo yung katabi mo. Ba, na-appreciate mo ba siya? Di ba, what a beautiful creation from the Lord. So, ganun daw yung sinasabi niya, pag may makita siya, he would really say, wow, Lord, what a beautiful creation of yours. He not only recognized the beautiful creation, he recognized the one who made the creation. Pero sabi niya, hanggang doon na lang yon. Okay, hanggang doon na lang yon. When we see a beautiful person, we appreciate God for his creation. A person may look at another with admiration for beauty and not be guilty of lust. Okay, sabi po ni Grant Richardson, it is not wrong to notice the physical beauty of a woman, but it is wrong to take her to bed in the mind. Fantasizing immorality is sinful, just as overt immorality is sinful. And basically, we all know the difference between just looking and lusting. Okay, they said it's the second look that is deadly. So yung iba, para daw maiwasan, di na lang tinatanggal yung tingin, alright? Pinagpiestahan na, okay? So that too is wrong. Okay, other says, if you look at a person and said maganda talaga siya, diba, i-bounce mo raw yung eyes mo, you look at a different place. Pero yung iba daw ang ginagawa, nagbabounce. Diba, that too is wrong. We all know the difference between looking and lusting. Lust dishonors the object and disregards God. Okay, when we lust, we dishonors the object and disregards God. Lust wants it now. It is not patient. It is not kind. Lust desires to get and not to give. And there's also a big difference between love and lust. Diba? Love desires to satisfy and serve others even at the expense of self. It is not self-seeking. It is not selfish. But lust desires to gratify oneself even at the expense of the other. Love gives, but lust gets. Love is satisfying, but love is insatiable. Ano ba ibig sabihin ng insatiable? Ibig sabihin nun, it will never be satisfied. And that's why, nawa kung single ka ngayon, sinasabi mo, kapag nagkasawa ko, I will be able to deal with the issue of lust. Marriage is not the antidote to lust. Marriage won't solve the problem with lust because lust is a sin issue of the heart. It is not just a gender issue dahil sa lalaki lang, okay? Both male and female have the capacity to lust because of sinful nature. They made a study. I don't know how did they figure out, but it says 1 out of 3 who actually looks at a porn website are actually women. So it's not just a male issue. It is also an issue for the women. And so adultery is rooted in lust, and lust is an issue of the heart. Looking at a woman with lustful intent is adultery. Okay, Matthew 5:31-32, Jesus talks about adultery and divorce. And here's what it says. It was also said, okay, hear this, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Okay, so yan yung old practice before, no? Kung meron mag-asawa, tapos yung lalaki, feels like parang yung babae did something indecent. Okay? That person would give her a certificate of divorce, and that would basically, hiwalay na sila, no? But Jesus says, I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And so here, Jesus introduced the shocking idea. Very shocking, very revolutionary, that even if people are legally and properly divorced, annulled, separated, they can still commit adultery by marrying someone else without legitimate biblical grounds for doing so. While the teachers of the law regarded divorce lightly, Jesus called all remarriage after divorce adultery with only one exception, and that is marital unfaithfulness. Only one exception, and that is marital unfaithfulness. The only situation that remarriage and divorce are possible without breaking the seventh commandment is when it has already been broken by some serious acts of sexual immorality. In this case, and in this case only, did Jesus seems to have thought that divorce was permissible. And when the divorce was not permissible, any subsequent marriage. Okay, if the divorce was not permissible, if the divorce was made, okay, not on the grounds of sexual immorality, any subsequent remarriage, ang susunod pang mga kasalan, basically results in adultery. And in situations where the divorce was permissible, then remarriage is also permissible. And so, just to say that divorce is permitted but not required on the grounds of sexual immorality. And so, divorce is permitted. Not all divorces are sinful. Okay, divorce is permitted but not required on the ground of sexual immorality. But then the question is, why was it permitted? Okay, it was definitely not commanded for the husband to divorce his wife. No way you could read from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, okay, that Jesus encouraged, nor the prophets encouraged divorce. Okay? But then the question is, why was it permitted? Okay, Matthew 19:7-9. Then they said to him, the teachers of the law, why then did Moses command only to give a certificate of divorce and not to send and to send her away? Okay, he said to them, because of your hardness of heart. The only way and the only reason, okay, divorce was permitted is because of the hardness of heart. Again, it is a heart issue. Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning. Again, from the beginning, it was not so up until today. From the beginning, it was not so. And so I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except, again, for sexual immorality and marries another, commits adultery. The only way and the only reason it was permitted is because of the hardness of heart of the people. It was not the design from the beginning. And so what is the design of God? God designed marriage as an exclusive and permanent union between a man and a woman into which man must not break. The man should leave his mother and father and be united to his wife. Okay, and the two shall become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let not man separate. And so God designed marriage exclusive, permanent, between a man and a woman into which man must not break. Why? Because when we break something that God commanded us not to break, it will hurt us and it would cause us so much trouble and pain. I read an article by a woman who experienced divorce, and this is what she says. She's actually a Christian. And she said, God knows that divorce deeply wounds and attempts to destroy his precious beloved. Divorce endeavors to steal, to kill, and destroy. Divorce tried to assassinate me. Divorce nearly killed me when my parents split, and then it attempted to murder me once again when my husband walked out. That's why God hates divorce. The reason why God hates divorce is not because we are not only breaking the seventh commandment, but simply because it will definitely hurt us. It was meant to be permanent. It was not meant to be broken. But if we try to separate it, it will definitely cause so much pain, so much trouble, not only to the person who are involved, but even to the people around them, particularly the children. Again, God is for marriage covenant, and that covenant between a man and a woman is an exclusive, permanent union into which man must not break. And if you were going to look at the context of the whole Sermon on the Mount, and basically the entire gospel, okay? To the poor in spirit, to the meek, to the pure in heart, to the peacemaker, to the merciful, remember the Beatitudes? Okay, how shall a person who is poor in spirit, a person who is meek, a person who is pure in heart, a person who is a peacemaker and merciful, be able to cast out and leave his wife for another woman? Okay, as follower of Christ, before we even talk about separation, annulment, divorce, we gotta go back to the sanctity of marriage, God's original design, and we gotta go back to the gospel of reconciliation. Why? Because as follower of Christ, we have been reconciled. Okay, in God through Christ. Therefore, we can be reconciled with other people. Remember that? That's what we talked about last week. And so to the married, stay married. Okay? Stay married. Guard and nurture your marriage. Fight for your time together. Fight for your marriage. There are few things more precious in life than your marriage. And if you are contemplating divorce, whether biblical or non-biblical grounds, please talk to someone. Okay, consider the harm to your kids. Okay, to the divorced, annulled, separated, remarried. Okay, restoration, forgiveness of sins, if ever it was done wrong, is available. Remain as you are. What the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 7:24 says, brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God. Okay, for all the things that we have done, we would still be held liable against God. You should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. And so if you are in this kinds of situation and you feel you need help to clarify, okay, and if you want to make things right, if it need to be made right, you know what, talk to us. Okay, we want to help you and we will help you. There's so much complications, okay, regarding annulment, separation, and divorce, but we could look at what the Word of God says and abide with what the Word of God is telling us. And so to the single, how many single people do we have here? Yon, di ba? Get married. Get married. Di ba? Get married, all right? If you are planning to get married, seek God. Seek godly counsel. Okay? If you are planning to get married and you are single, certified by your Senumar in NSO. All right? Di ba? Get married, but do it right the first time. Okay? Get married. And do it right the first time. Seek God. Seek godly counsel. And really, the message is really a good translation for Matthew 5:31-32. Diba? Why all the divorce? Remember the scripture that says, whoever divorces his wife, let him do it legally, giving her divorce papers and her legal rights. To many of you who are using that, you are using that as a cover for selfishness and whim. Diba? Bakit nagdi-divorce? At least in this particular context, because of selfishness and whim, impulse. Diba? Padalos-dalos na lang, okay? Whim, impulse. Okay, it's a cover for selfishness and whim, pretending to be righteous just because you are legal. You can't use legal cover to mask a moral failure. And so the reason why, okay, Jesus was teaching, okay, and interpreting, okay, the seventh commandment is that those people at that particular time were actually using divorce as a cover-up for moral failure. Para lang mapagbigyan ng init ng katawan. Okay, the lust of the flesh, they will use divorce as a cover-up to mask a moral failure. And that's why God hates divorce. Unjustly divorcing one's wife is adultery. And most divorces, but not all, much like adultery, is fueled by a selfish passion. Using divorce as a cover-up for moral failure. But then the question, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to deal with lust? How are we going to deal with adultery and divorce? But how are we going to maintain sexual purity? Matthew 5:29 says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. And so there is a connection. Okay, if a man looks intently at a woman, okay, using the eyes, okay, that person already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so there is a connection between the eyes and the heart. Okay? Why the eyes? Because an adulterous heart is the result of an adulterous eyes. Okay, the eyes of the heart is being stimulated and fed by the eyes of the flesh. And so we have to deal with the problem at its beginning, which is actually the eyes. Luke 11:34 says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of life. But when it's evil, your body is full of darkness. And so the question is, do you have a good eye or an evil eye? Do you have a healthy eye or a bad eye? What are you looking at? What are you staring at? Okay, your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's evil, your body is full of darkness. We gotta careful what we are looking at. That's why Job 31 verse 1 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. Okay? How are we going to deal with it? Matthew 5:29-30. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Again, this is a metaphor. Okay? John Phillips says, Christ is not saying cripple yourself. He is saying control yourself. Diba? Parang napaka-morbid naman ng illustration. Why? Because it means to drastically, immediately, radically, deliberately cut off sources of temptations in our lives. If your eye is causing you to sin, then don't look at materials that causes you to sin. If your hand, okay, is causing you to sin, then don't do things that causes you to sin. If your feet is the one that's causing you to sin, then don't go to places that causes you to sin. We got to deal with it drastically, radically, immediately. Cut off sources of temptations in our lives. Cut them up immediately as fast as we can. Sabi nga ni Pastor Dennis, no, when you are dealing with temptations in your life, dapat beast mode ka. Diba alam diba yung beast mode? Hindi. Google nyo na lang. Okay? Beast mode. Diba talagang dapat may resolution. Talagang resolve. Diba talagang ganun. Okay? And so, if there's something that we should be mad about, it's actually with sin. Righteous indignation, righteous anger, that's where we should place our anger. Beast mode. Okay, what does it mean? It means not reading certain books and literature that would cause us to sin. It means avoiding watching certain movies, teleserye, diba? Probably K-drama, or being in certain places that would lead us to sin. And so, if you will do this, people would say to you, man, napaka old-fashioned mo naman, diba? Ate, 2017 na. Diba? 2017 na. You have not yet seen this movie. You have not read a book. You have not been to the hottest and coolest places. Hindi ka updated sa latest trend. You're such a narrow-minded person. Okay, but then, tuloy natin yung verse 29 to 30. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better. Say, it is better. It is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Again, just to make an emphasis. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Okay, it means in following Christ, it is better to suffer now than to lose all of our body in hell later on. So sinasabi po dito, it's as a follower of Christ, if we follow Jesus, okay, and if we want Christ-likeness in our life, you would suffer now, but you would enjoy later. But you also have a choice. You enjoy now. Do whatever you want. But suffer later. You have a choice. Okay? Would you suffer now and enjoy later, or enjoy now? Give in to the lust of the flesh, to the desires of the flesh. But then suffer later. Jesus was quite clear about it. Twice he said, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. Meaning it is better to forgo some experiences this life has to offer in order to enter the life which is truly life. It is better to be culturally maimed and crippled in this world than risk final destruction in the end. How are we going to deal with lust? Cut it off. Cut off sources of temptation and cut them off immediately as fast as you can. James 1:15 says, our sinful nature gives desires. Okay? We have the desires of the flesh because of our sinful nature, and desires would lead to sin. But sin, if not dealt with, would lead to death. It all starts with a desire. Lust is definitely a desire, if we will not deal with it, it would yield to adultery, and most often than not, could probably lead to divorce, a separation, an attack on the sanctity of marriage. And so what else should we do? 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passion and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Okay? The battle for sexual purity is a battle for passion. Either we would be passionate to pursue God, or we would be passionate to the desires of this world. And so the question is, are we going to live for this world or the next? Whether to follow the crowd or to follow Jesus. Who are we following? Are we following Jesus, or we are just one of those people in the crowd? Jesus in his sermon is saying that lust can destroy the most important and intimate human relationship. It can lead to adultery, and worse, it could lead in divorce. And so before lust destroys our life, let us deal with it harshly, radically, and immediately. For Jesus will not condemn, but he forgives and gives us the power to go and sin no more. There is a story of a woman who was actually caught, not just with an intention, but caught in the act of having an adultery with another man. And so the teachers of the law brought the woman to Jesus and says, it is written, okay, that if a man or a woman is caught having an adultery, an affair with another man or another woman, that person should be stoned to death. Penalty for adultery, death. Stoned to death. And so what did Jesus do? Jesus actually sat down, wrote something on the soil and says, he who has no sin, cast the first stone. And here's what happened. John 8:10-11 says, Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Where are the teachers of the law? Where are the people who have brought you here? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. You see, the Pharisees were so thrilled in exercising their power to condemn. But Jesus was so thrilled to exercise his power, not to condemn, but to forgive. Is there something to be condemned on the life of that person? Definitely. That person committed adultery. Is there something to be condemned in our lives? Definitely. But you know what the Bible says? Romans 8, verse 1 said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Divorce is not an unpardonable sin. It is not an unforgivable sin. And so is adultery, and so is lust. But then if you are not in Christ, there is something to be condemned. Because therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, you repented of your sin, you have a relationship with Christ, no need to bear the penalty of hell because Christ did it for you. But if we are not in Christ, if we are still living in sin, and it is a lifestyle, are we following Jesus or are we following the crowd? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is no amount of sin, no amount of complicated situation that you are in that is out of the reach of the love of God. In the same manner that God has extended the grace and forgiveness of sins to that person, to that woman who was caught in adultery, the same manner that God is offering us today. Neither do I condemn you. Live your life of sin. Go and sin no more. That is the gospel That is the grace of Christ. And that is something that we can be thankful to God about. But then again, we should not entertain sin in our life. We got to deal with it seriously, deal with it radically, cut off sources in our lives that would cause us to sin. Why? Because he who has been forgiven much, loved much. Diba, kung naunawaan talaga natin at naiintindihan natin kung ano yung magnitude na ginawa ni Lord para sa buhay natin, we would respond back to the goodness of God in our lives. It doesn't mean you will be perfect, but at least we are progressing day by day from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. We are being conformed in the image of God. Jesus said to the woman, "Neither do I condemn you." But then there is another encouragement. Live your life of sin. Go and sin no more. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you, God. That, Lord, yes, there is something to be condemned. But, Lord, out of your goodness and your love for us, Lord, you send your one and only Son to die on the cross so that we would be righteous not because of what we can do, not who we are, but simply because of what Christ has done for us. Lord, we stand before your presence humbled. God, full of gratitude because of what you've done for us. Lord, help us to live a morally pure and holy life. Lord, help us to pursue righteousness and peace, Lord God, in our lives. Lord, thank you, God, that, Lord, even if we are here and we have committed adultery and lust, Lord, thank you, God, that your grace is made available for us. Now, if you're here and probably say, man, it's not adultery, not the act, but the intent. And if you are into porn, that too is a sexually immoral sin, not pleasing before the eyes of God. And if you're a follower of Christ, that's not who you are, that's not appropriate for you. And yet the grace of God is made available for us. Would you come before the presence of God and say, Lord, would you set me free? Would you repent of your sin and come to the Lord? He will not condemn you. He is ready to forgive you, cleanse you, purify you from all unrighteousness. Would you come to God right now? Would you renounce all impurity, malice, and lust, and ask God for forgiveness? Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, God, that your goal for your people, for your children, is to be Christ-like. Lord, not only in deeds, not only through our words, but Lord, even through our intentions. Lord, would you conform us in the image of your Son? Lord, would you continually purify us, sanctify us? Lord, help us to live a morally pure and righteous before your sight. Lord, thank you, God, that in the same way that you have not condemned that woman, Lord, you are not condemning any one of us. If we would only come to you in humility and repentance, Lord. Lord, thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for making us right before the Lord. I want to pray for another group of people here. You know, the Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is something to be condemned. If you are not in Christ, definitely there is something to be condemned. Would you come to the Lord? If you have not made the decision to follow Christ, if you have not made the decision to surrender your life to the Lord, you're trying to save yourself out of good works. The Bible says all of our good works are like filter rugs. It won't save you. Only Christ can save you, and He will not condemn you. He will come and forgive you of all your sin. If you're here and you have made the decision to be in Christ, to follow Christ, would you please raise your hand so we can pray for you, so that we could help you be able to understand the implication of what it is to be in Christ. Anyone in this room, you're saying, Lord, alam ko wala ka pa sa buhay ko, Lord, just looking at my life, Lord, I'm trying to be a good person, trying to do good things to save myself, trying to obey 10 commandments, yet I always fall short. Because you need a Savior, you cannot do it on your own, you need Christ. Anyone here at all, say, Lord, God, I repent of my sin, would you forgive me, would you cleanse me, would you sanctify me, true and true. Thank you, Lord. Last 5 seconds. Anyone at all? Thank you, Lord. You know, kung nahihiya ka lang pumunta dito sa harapan or to raise your hand, can you just please pray this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And Lord, and I need you to save me. Lord, I repent of all my sin. And I'm confessing you, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. Lord, would you help me to live this life only and only for you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give a hand to the Lord. God is good. Amen. Let's all stand up on our feet right now. Once again, you know what? If you need help, okay, you are in a very complicated situation, you don't know what to do, please talk to us. We want to help you. Okay, you want to make things right. And if there's something that needs to be made right, okay, you can approach us. Amen. Let's just lift up our hands. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, what a God we serve. Lord, what a God that we serve. God, standing ready to forgive and not to condemn, to accept and not to reject. Lord, I pray, God, that even as we experience continually your love for us, Lord God, help us to love you back and be passionate for you and your kingdom. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. If you need prayers, the pastors and staff are here to pray for you.